Hi, everybody. This is Ryan Aber from the Oklahoman, here just leaving Gaylord Family Oklahoma Memorial Stadium after the Sooners 45-13 win over UTEP. Going to try a little bit something different here this year, do a Twitter space and have a bit of a conversation with y'all for our postgame pod as we leave the game. Just a big day for the Sooners overall, obviously an emotional one for Brent Venables, especially after the game. We saw Joe Castiglione present him with a game ball. Brent Venables choked up a little bit, but really soak this moment in for him from the start of the day when he takes a run around the team hotel and gets a call from Dabo Swinney to the Walk of Champions, which there was an incredible amount of people lined up for that, much different than we've seen the last couple of years as to greet the Sooners when they came in. And then obviously the game. Jenny, what's the number one takeaway you have from today?
Yeah, I mean, this was obviously the start of a brand new era. You know, a lot of things that looked different and sounded different in the build up and the aftermath of this game. But, you know, what we saw on the field was reminiscent of some things of the past. You know, that up-tempo offense, we hadn't really seen it quite that up-tempo in a while. So that was interesting. And then a defense that, you know, obviously is going to have stiffer tests as the year goes on, but I thought did a good job, you know, playing solidly throughout that game. So some things that harken back to previous times that I think people are going to like to see out there on the field. But it was a sort of a in a way kind of a bookend to, I think, you know, Brent even kind of referred to the, you know, fact that this felt like it took forever sometimes to get to this point. And so kind of a, you know, end of the prep and the build up to this. And now the season is the routine of the season will come. So definitely I think it might have been a more emotion filled day than maybe Brent Venables was even thinking it would be.
Yeah, it certainly seemed to be. And Brent Venables talked after the game about, you know, things sometimes feeling like they were moving really fast to this point, and sometimes feeling like he was sort of, he said, living in dog years, that, you know, everything slowed down for him. But, you know, certainly once things got going today, you know, the start of it went about as well as the Sooners could have hoped with that offense, like Jenny said, just turning up the tempo, the defense, putting pressure on UTEP from the start and making life difficult. Got a little bit dicey there in the second quarter, but the Sooners were able to regain control once that offense sort of settled in a little bit, started establishing the run. Justin, when you talk about the tempo, Justin Martinez, when you talk about the tempo that this offense showed today, is this about what you expected? What did it look like on the field compared to that? And, you know, how important can that be for the Sooners moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, definitely this is something that I guess you should expect it with how much, you know, they were talking about it during camp, you know, from Dylan Gabriel to Jeff Levy. They kept talking about the tempo, but even then, honestly, I wasn't expecting it to be this fast. I mean, their first three touchdowns in the first quarter, all of which came in under 2 minutes. I think only two of their scoring drives took more than 3 minutes this entire game. So, I mean, this was just a remarkably fast offense. So much so even Eric Gray, their running back, was kind of joking in postgame that, hey, he like needed a little bit of breather. He was saying to the officials, hey, can you maybe set the ball down a little bit slower, you know, so I can catch a breather. So definitely this is going to be a very fast offense this season. And I don't know if I was expecting to be this fast, but I mean, clearly you could see that it was working today for them.
Yeah, it was something that, you know, as much as we've talked about it, as much as I've seen what UCF has done, what Ole Miss did last year and the speed of Jeff Levy's offense, it was something completely different to watch it live and in person and try to be tracking plays and things like that as the game is going on. And OU really took advantage of it. Like Justin said, their first three drives, three touchdowns, all really quick drives. And, obviously had some quick strikes there with Gavin Freeman, especially on the end of round for the 46-yard touchdown. But, the other drives were just get the plays going, move the ball downfield, and, get that offense humming along. And I think, obviously, UTEP today overmatched defensively. There's no question about that. But as they get to better teams, that tempo is going to play a big role just because not many defenses are going to be prepared physically for what they're going to face in this one, Jenny.
No, I agree with that. And, yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting because, under Lincoln Riley, I mean, I think there were definitely some times when the tempo was faster than it was last year. But it almost makes you sort of have to recalibrate your brain a little bit when you see the efficiency and pace with which the Sooners played today. I think it when you can do that, it does really challenge a defense that may not be prepared for that. And, UTEP, not only, like you mentioned, Ryan, being, physically overmatched, this is a team coming from, El Paso, where the humidity is probably, 20% at the worst. And today was a soupy mess. So they were definitely up against it in a lot of ways today. But it is going to be interesting to see, how the Sooners regulate that speed, because, it did create some situations when they did have some struggles that the defense had to get back, their own defense had to get back out there fairly quickly. You really don't want to sort of jeopardize yourself that way, but obviously that pace, if OU can play that way, I think that that's going to be a huge advantage because, they even though they got some good play today out of, the running backs, Eric Gray and those guys, they got some good plays out of the receivers, Marvin Mims, and you mentioned Gavin Freeman earlier having that, big play, the true freshman walk-on, but having really standout guys at those skill positions, they just don't have a ton of them right now. So they're going to have to maximize what they have. And one way they can do that is if they can play faster. And if today's any indication, it looks like they could go pretty fast.
Yeah. And Jenny, I want to get back and talk to you a little bit about Gavin Freeman here mm-hmm. in just a second. But first of all, Justin, for you, Jenny talked about not having those sort of go-to guys really outside of a Marvin Mims offensively that they could really count on. Who's a guy today that maybe wasn't at the top of the list that, really impressed you, or you really walked away from that game thinking, hey, this guy can be a really big piece for them?
Yeah, I mean – I wouldn't know if I definitely wouldn't put him on like the caliber of a guy like Marvin Mims or something like that. But someone that was impressive was Braden Willis. I mean, this is a guy who for the most part has been praised for his off the field leadership, being one of those glue guys, a fifth year guy. But I mean, two touchdowns today, which already eclipses his total from last season. They're going to need something like that out of him, especially look at Austin Sogner now gone. Jeremiah Hall now gone. Daniel Parker wasn't playing today. It was expected to help out at tight end. For him, his production to be able to give you two touchdowns and just be a goal line presence. I mean, I just think that's going to be something that would be really big for OU if it proves to be consistent this season.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how big of a role he plays, what that tight end role ultimately looks like, because it's not something that Jeff Lebby is usually utilized that much, but certainly with what the Sooners have with Braden Willis, with Daniel Parker, who's mainly a blocking guy, I think they're going to use that a little bit more. Jenny, let's go back to Gavin Freeman, though. There's a lot of freshmen on this team and a lot of freshmen that we expected and expect to play significant roles. But I don't know that Gavin Freeman was a guy that we really would have circled there. But to take his first carry and end around for a touchdown, especially with his journey to get to this point, his family legacy with his father playing for the Sooners. I've known the Freeman family for a long, long time, covered Muskogee back just in the immediate aftermath of Ron Freeman, Gavin's grandfather, coaching there. And I know that was a really big moment for them.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, as you laid out, you know, this was a guy that I don't think, if we had our, you know, freshman impact bingo card out, I don't know if Gavin Freeman would have been top of the list, but gets his first touch about midway through the first quarter and takes it back across the field, makes a guy miss. Then he bounces off a would-be tackler, keeps his feet. Then he gets a good downfield block from Braden Willis, a guy I think Justin hit right on the nose. I was equally impressed with what we saw to him today, but he gets a great downfield block just to give Gavin Freeman enough space to get to the pylon, and his first touch goes for his first touchdown. His dad, Jason, played tight end at OU in the mid-90s, bounced around the NFL a little bit. His granddad, as you mentioned, Ryan, longtime high school coach in the state of Oklahoma, so very much a football legacy. But Gavin, because he's only 5'8", was a guy coming out of Heritage Hall despite some really big numbers. You know, Heritage Hall, one of the better sort of mid-sized programs in the state, and they've cranked out some greats. I mean, whether it's Wes Welker or Sterling Shepard, I mean, just a variety of guys over the years. Gavin Freeman, not getting much in the way of Power 5 offers, got one about a year ago from Texas Tech. They sort of thought, hey, maybe we can do this Wes Welker thing again with Gavin Freeman. And even after the coaching change from Matt Wells, ultimately then to Joey McGuire, they kept that scholarship for Gavin Freeman. But eventually Oklahoma, with their coaching change, came in and said, hey, we'd like you to be a preferred walk-on. Would you accept that offer? And, you know, that's a big decision. You've got a scholarship to a Power 5, or you're a preferred walk-on, and there's a lot that is not given you as a walk-on. But ultimately, Gavin Freeman said, I've always wanted to be a Sooner. I'm going to bet on myself. I'm going to Norman. And to have, you know, we kept hearing about him throughout summer and spring, summer, camp, all that sort of stuff. But for him to come out and get that moment with his first touch in the college level, I mean, it's an amazing, exclamation mark on this journey. And now it's just going to be interesting to see what else, you know, is he he was greeted first after the touchdown by Drake Stoops, another walk-on Oklahoma high school product. Does Gavin Freeman become like Drake Stoops, or is there something even bigger out there, potentially more of a Wes Welker type role for him? Who knows? I mean, but this was a great moment for Gavin Freeman, his entire family. Pretty cool to see today.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And be sure to read Jenny's column at Oklahoman.com and in the Oklahoman on Gavin Freeman's performance and what it meant to him and his family. I actually got a chance to talk to Gavin Freeman after the game, a little breath of fresh air, maybe for us. I'm not one to gripe about who we're able to talk to and things like that, because a lot of most people, don't really care and shouldn't, but it was nice.
Inside baseball there, right, Ryan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Jenny, it was nice to be able to talk to him in that moment. I think CeeDee Lamb was the last true freshman that we were able to talk to, after a game or in our midweek availabilities, and, just good to be able to hear from him directly about what that meant for him.
Well, and I think too, it's an acknowledgement that it was a special moment. You've got a legacy player, you know, his dad having been a Sooner, he gets to be a Sooner, and a walk-on that scores a touchdown in his first, you know, time he touches the football. Just the specialness of that, I think giving him a chance to give voice to his own story, is an awareness that that's not going to happen all the time. And I don't expect that we'll see Gavin Freeman as a regular in the interview room. But, I think in a moment where it was a big deal to him and a big deal to a lot of Sooner fans. I mean, there's a lot of Sooner fans that are going to remember his dad and they're going to know his story and he's a local kid. I mean, I think that a lot of that tiles up where –
it was really smart and savvy for, you know, whether it was Brent Venables or their PR staff to say, you know, let's put him out there. And I had a chance to talk to him too, Ryan, and he did a great job. You know, didn't do anything that anybody within the program would have thought, you know, was untoward or that they wouldn't like. He was good. And so why not let him get out there and give voice to his story? I thought that was super cool. I'm glad we did get a chance to talk to him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Justin, let's stay on the offensive side of the ball a little bit with the running game and what we saw from Eric Gray today, his best game as a Sooner, started a lot last year, but never really took control of that number one spot. Obviously, Kennedy Brooks had a fantastic year and ultimately became their clear number one running back. But it seemed like Eric Gray, this offense is made for a player like Eric Gray, and certainly especially when they really needed him to come through after things had gotten a little bit shaky there in the second quarter. It was Eric Gray that really started settling this thing down.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, you know, UTEP definitely was starting to build some momentum. They, you know, you'd had a few three and outs. UTEP scores 10 straight to make it 21-10. And Gray was definitely a guy who really helped kind of, you know, get things back on track. I mean, 102 rushing yards on 16 carries, 6.4 rushing yards per carry. I mean, he was really good for them. You know, I thought the offensive line did a good job of freeing up some spots for him. And he's been a guy that doesn't really need a whole lot of space in order to create something. So, really impressed out of him and just the backfield in general. I mean, Marcus Major also had, you know, 54 yards, two touchdowns. They got that one from Freeman, like we mentioned, you know, the touchdown from him. You know, there were questions going into this game, you know, is Eric Gray going to be one of those, you know, can he be a workhorse for OU? And, you know, while definitely they're going to need some of these other guys, you know, he looked pretty good, like someone that they could be able to lean on.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Jenny, Justin touched on the offensive line there real quick. We had been hearing things that Wanya Morris was, you know, likely to be out, whether it was one game or a couple of games. He didn't play today. They moved Tyler Guyton into the starting lineup and then shift Anton Harrison over to the right side, which with a left-handed quarterback is a little bit more important this year. How did you think that Bill Beatingo's group held up? They did some rotations there. We saw McCabe Matower come out a little bit. We saw Guyton have to come out a little bit for a couple of plays to have Aaron Parks slide in for a bit. But, you know, what did you think about that group overall?
Yeah, and there were definitely some times we saw, you know, some guys come out and Bill Beatingo show he does not keep his emotions hidden. You know, if he's not pleased, everybody's going to know it. And there were a couple of times you could definitely tell he was not super excited about some of the stuff his guys were doing. But I had a chance to talk to Eric Gray a little bit after the game about moving at the tempo that OU was moving tonight. And I asked him, I said, what do you think is central to that? And he said, it's got to start with the offensive line. Those guys have got to know what they're doing for that offense to move at the pace that they want to move. So I think if you think about that, which it makes a lot of sense that, you know, you got to have your biggest guys, the guys where it all starts, they got to move upfield. They got to be, you know, mindful of what exactly they're doing, and they got to be able to be, you know, sort of that tip of the spear of that up-tempo offense. And so I think if you consider that measure, you would have to say they played pretty well. Now I'm sure that, you know, there are individuals and times and things that, you know, you can break down and I'm sure the coach will look at it and say, you know, there were areas, of course there were areas where they weren't great. But I think if you think about those, especially the times when they were really moving and efficient, you know, there was some pretty good play up there by those guys. So I think considering that might not have been the lineup that, you know, a week ago today they were thinking was going to be their starting lineup or their main lineup, I think that's a pretty good sign if they had to plug in some guys and move some guys around that group was able to do pretty well today.
Yeah, I think you're right on the money there when you talk about the key to that tempo being the offensive line, because it was a big change for them to have to adjust to that kind of tempo, have to adjust to, hey, once the play's over, we got to get upfield quick to give our offense a chance to run that play as quickly as possible. and it seemed like they held up pretty well. Dylan Gabriel wasn't, you know, scrambling around much back there, was fairly well protected. But I'm really interested to see if Tyler Guyton seizes that role, if he winds up becoming the starter there. We'd heard a lot of really good things about what he'd done in camp. And he is just, you know, there's just a few guys that physically, when you see them on the field, on the practice field, full of really big guys that are easy to notice. And Tyler Guyton is certainly one of them. Justin, switching to the defensive side of the ball, you know, a really big day for Reggie Grimes, you know, a career type of day. He only had, I think it was, you know, three sacks last year. He had had, three sacks for his career, and he had 2.5 today. Just a really important game for Reggie Grimes, who was a guy that a lot of us had talked about being, you know, a really big piece of what Brent Venables and Ted Roof were trying to do on the defensive side.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you were going to need production out of him, you know, losing a guy like Nick Bonito, obviously big shoes to fill. But, I mean, Reggie looked good today, you know, and this is obviously UTEP isn't going to be on the same level as some of these other teams that OU's going to go on to play this season. But specifically with their offensive line, I mean, they had numerous returners that were all Conference USA honorable mentions last season. I mean, this is an offensive line that has cohesiveness. They have history together and are one of the better groups on the teams. And, you know, Reggie was able to put a lot of pressure on Gavin Hardison today. Like you said, he had 3 sacks his whole career, was able to come out today and have 2.5. And then just in general, being able to apply pressure. So yeah, really impressed with him. And if he is one of the guys that's going to have a breakout year for OU, I mean, that would be really big on the defensive end for them.
Hey, yeah, one thing I'll jump in and say too, if Reggie can, if he can be a guy that can be disruptive, you know, at one end for OU, I think that bodes well considering what Ethan Downs can bring to the field. He might not have had quite the wow today. There were definitely a few times he was in on plays, of course, but if those two guys can really be the edges for that defensive line, that could be really huge. So to me, it's what Reggie Grimes did individually, good news for the Sooners, but when you add in, you know, what that could mean for how offensive lines are going to have to try to handle both ends rushing, and it's those two guys, that can add a whole other level to this defense.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct, Jenny. And, you know, not only Ethan Downs, but, you know, they have a couple other guys at that spot. Marcus Stripling, Jonah Laulu, R. Mason Thomas, a freshman, who can make plays as well. And if, you know, Reggie Grimes and Ethan Downs are seizing that top spot and being disruptive on both sides, then, you know, that's going to make life a whole lot more difficult for opposing offenses and, you know, give this defense a little bit bigger feeling. I said going into that game that I thought that the defensive ends were going to be the biggest key for OU defensively in trying to see just how far this defense has come. And we certainly saw that today. And on a personal level, this game was really big for Reggie Grimes. Got a chance to talk to him after the game. His grandmother was diagnosed with cancer in April. And she had battled cancer, I think it was about 20 years ago, and was able to beat that. And they found some more lumps. And she decided not to start chemo until after this game because she wanted to be here to see Reggie Grimes. And, you know, wow. Got a chance to speak with him about that. Actually got a chance to visit with his grandmother, Barbara Grimes, about her journey and what this means to her. And she told me that, you know, she wouldn't have had it any other way, that her doctor knew that she had to be here for this game and had to be here for her grandson. And, you know, Reggie said that so much of who he is comes from his grandmother. He said he always writes, I can't remember the exact phrasing, but basically be who you are on his wristbands and on his notes every day. And he said that message comes from her, to just be yourself, and don't let anybody else, you know, push you away from that. And just an emotional day for Reggie Grimes to have the kind of career day that he had today with his grandmother in attendance. And I know they got to share some pretty special moments after the game with a big group of family. I think they said they had 17 people here from their family. Wow. here to watch Reggie Grimes. So a big one for them. Justin, early in that, I touched on R. Mason Thomas, one of the freshmen who played today. We talked about the freshmen on the offensive side. You know, what did you think about the freshmen on the defensive side for the Sooners? R. Mason Thomas, probably the biggest contributor there. Also got to see some Jaron Kinnick for the first time. What did you make of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, R. Mason is someone that, you know, has been getting a lot of praise from his teammates in camp. You know, Ethan Downs, I believe it was a week and a half ago or so, had said, you know, he's someone that you guys need to keep an eye on, you know, with his speed, ability to use his leverage and really outwork some of these bigger guys. And, I mean, he showed it today without a doubt. You know, had half a tackle for loss, two total tackles. You know, Gentry Williams also had that interception. They're pretty much just the last play of the game for UTEP. So, I mean, definitely it's an encouraging sight, you know, to see these freshmen be able to contribute. And that's something that's so good about these non-conference games, especially, you know, in these games like against UTEP where, you know, OU is going to be a considerable favorite. It's going to present a lot of opportunities for some of these younger guys to also, you know, come out and show what they've got, you know, Gavin Freeman being on the offensive side as well. So definitely a really cool opportunity for them. And, yeah, a lot of these guys made the most of it.
Yeah, as Justin talks about there with Gentry Williams especially, you know, these games early in the season against teams like UTEP, against a team like Kent State that we're going to see next week, you know, some of these plays the young players make might not be when the game's on the line, but they can help get those players prepared, confident, ready for later in the year as their roles grow. We saw that with Danny Stutzman to some extent and Ethan Downs last year. Their roles grew as the year went on, and I think certainly these first couple of games can go to building those things that might not make a difference in winning or losing now, but they might make a difference in winning or losing in November and December, Jenny.
Yeah, for sure. I'm actually, I know you guys are still a little closer to the stadium. I've actually matriculated back to the house in Kent State. Speaking of, they're playing Washington right now and just hit about a 47-yard bomb. So speaking of guys like Gentry Williams, I think Kent State's going to be an interesting test next week. I know we don't want to get into that a ton, but they apparently play up tempo. They throw it around a little bit. So I think OU is going to have a chance once again to, you know, to get some guys out there on the field and get them tested in situations that, you know, the stress may not be there like it would be from start to finish against a Big 12 team, but you're definitely going to have moments where you are going to be tested. You are going to be, you know, stretched to see what you know, what you've learned, what you can do. And yeah, I think you can only, I mean, these early games, you know, I think in a variety of ways, we hear it from players as you ask different kinds of questions. You know, a lot of it comes back to, we just got to get on the field. You know, we just got to see what this is like, whether we're talking about, you know, offensive tempo or, you know, defensive changes or young guys. So I think that is, you know, it's an ongoing learning experience that when you start talking about freshmen, these are all invaluable opportunities for them. And yeah, I would think that, especially if the OU offense is going to play at the pace they played, the defense is going to need some guys to come in and spell starters, because they're going to have teams that get a lot of possessions just off the fact that the offense is going to play so fast.
Yeah. And heck, we saw that here in the second quarter when it seemed like the defense got a little bit winded and, you know, wore down a little bit. Because the offense first was scoring really quickly, and then when they don't score, was off the field with the three and outs on a couple of quick possessions. And, you know, being able to go deep in those spots is certainly going to be big. Brent Venables rotated early in this game. He said he would have liked to have rotated even a little bit more and gotten some more guys into the game, especially early. But that's going to be a work in progress. I do want to take a moment to answer a question from D-Train there, who asked a little bit ago, why can't Megway play this year? I thought the transfer portal was a free-for-all and anything goes. Not quite a free-for-all. There is a deadline to that, and he did not meet that, where you have to enter the portal by a certain time, or at least inform your school that you're going to enter the portal by a certain time in order to be eligible that season. Emeka Megwa, the running back transfer from Washington, was not able to meet that deadline. So I don't believe he'll be eligible this year, but we did see him on the sidelines today wearing a jersey. He is not officially on the OU roster, but we do have confirmation that he is certainly a part of this team, and that's going to be a big addition for them moving forward.
Hey, I didn't know that. That's news I can use. I missed that. Sorry. So that's good to hear. Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm trying to inform here a little bit as much as we can. And Jenny, one thing I wanted to wrap up as I walk around the parking lot, finally think gonna have to make my way to my truck because it's pretty muggy out here right now. But before the game, just the enthusiasm that we saw. I talked about the Walk of Champions. It was incredible how deep the fans were around that, how fired up they were to see Brent Venables' first team. We got to see OU players come out in suits, which was a little bit different. Sometimes it's been fun the last couple of years to see the players, get their individual style, but they were all in suits. Now, they were different suits, so they got to express themselves like that a little bit, but certainly an interesting way to start the day. And you just felt going into this game that, OU fans were really ready to welcome Brent Venables in a different kind of way than even we saw in the spring game.
I would agree with that. And Justin, I'm curious to hear what you think here in a sec too. But I mean, like even, everybody that's been to an OU game knows they do the "there's only one" video before the game, and that was a lot of Barry Switzer, a lot of Bob Stoops, but then at the end it was both of them along with Brent, and just a huge ovation. Tons of people making a lot of noise, and it just really felt like people wanted to show that they were behind everything that was happening. And it's just one game, but there definitely was sort of a sense of, people just wanting to show that they had the back of this team, this new regime, this new era. I don't know, Justin, it felt like there was a lot of positive vibes going out there.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, there's obviously been a lot of excitement around this program. Not just because it's Brent, but also just who he's brought in as well. He's brought in a lot of guys with OU connections, a lot of guys who kind of, are a little bit of a throwback to some of the older days for OU football. And I think that has also gotten people a lot really excited. So definitely, I mean, there's a buzz around this program. And, it's a shame it was so hot today, because definitely I think the stadium might have been a little more packed. Maybe would have heard the crowd a little bit more, but I mean, at the same time, I don't blame them with how hot it was. Even with that, it was a great environment for sure.
Yeah. After halftime, things cleared out pretty significantly among the fans. And yeah, it's really hard to blame them with how hot and humid and everything it was today. But all in all, a solid day for the Sooners, a solid start to the Brent Venables era. Once again, OU beat UTEP 45-13. Next week, the Sooners will take on Kent State. We'll have quite a bit more about that. But, hey, thanks so much for listening to this. We're going to wrap it up there with the Sooners Extra post-game Twitter space, post-game pod, whatever we want to call it. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to try to do this thing after every OU game as we make my way out of the stadium and be joined by some folks. So hope y'all will continue to listening. Thank you so much. And you can check out our work every day at oklahoman.com and every morning in the Oklahoman for the best OU coverage anywhere. Have a good one.